Welcome to That Realtor Investor Show. My name is Caroline, your host. I am a real estate agent right here in Southern California. I'm also an active investor. I own and self-manage my Airbnbs. And today we're going to answer questions that I have received on a recent Q&A on Instagram relating to real estate. The first question is in regard to Bank of America, and the question is, any advice for their new loan that helps with grants? Now, Bank of America is renowned to offer grants to first-time homebuyer, always, all the time. You can find their grants here and there, occasionally throughout the year. Now, any grants that you might get out there comes with some guidelines. Those programs are great to get, but you want to make sure you read the fine lines. It could be good, it could be bad, but some of those guidelines can be that you cannot refinance for a few years, that you cannot sell the property, that you cannot move out of the property. It needs to be your primary residence. So, is it good? Is it bad? My advice is definitely find out from the lender what are the strings attached with that grant. Next question. Is it bad or a waste of time to look at property when you haven't been pre-approved? The answer is absolutely it is a waste of time for you to be looking at properties when you haven't talked to the bank, when you don't have a pre-approval. I've seen it so many times in my careers where I'll meet buyers and they want to see all these properties. And because they haven't done their homework, because they haven't spoken with a loan officer, what happens is 99% of the time they look at properties, they do not qualify or they do not want that mortgage payment. So it is very important to, once you're looking at houses or once you're ready to look at houses, make sure you have spoken with a loan officer, because the loan officer is going to look at your income, even if you just talk to them over the phone. Look at your income, consider your debts, consider your credit score, and then take in consideration your down payment. And as the borrower, as the buyer, you want to keep in mind and talk with your spouse or your partner or whoever you're purchasing with, what monthly payment are you trying to stay at? Or what's the budget? Sometimes I'll have clients that will tell me, well, our budget is between $3,000 to $3,700 a month. Okay, that's a great budget to keep in mind when we're looking at properties. So, yes, the short and long answer is you should not be looking at real estate when you're not pre-approved. If you really want to look at properties, what you can do is obviously you can look at it online. You can visit open houses just to get an idea of the area, what properties are going for. But again, it's unrealistic to be looking at properties. And what happens, and I'm going to be honest, is when you start looking at houses without knowing what are your finances like, you start setting the expectation, you start seeing beautiful, gorgeous houses, and it can be very disappointing when you realize, well, I don't qualify for that $750,000 home. I need to stay at $625,000 purchase price. So don't deceive yourself. Speak with the lender when you're ready. You can even use a mortgage calculator on any website that you're using to look at properties for sale, and that will give you an idea of what you can and cannot afford. Next question. These questions are coming in very hot. What are some of your pros and cons of owning a manufactured home in Southern California? Manufactured homes are great purchases when you are thinking long term, when you are thinking that it will be an investment property, when you really do your research and find out, are these properties in this specific area, are they going up in value over time? Manufactured home can be amazing if it's purchased property. Where purchasing a manufactured home might not be beneficial is when a first-time home buyer is just trying to move into a property, and obviously manufactured homes are pretty much the lowest priced product out there. I often talk to first-time home buyers and we want to go over, well, would a manufactured home be better for you and your family, or would a condo or townhome would work for you? Because manufactured home, the reality is, although they have a lower purchase price, they have a higher interest rate. They have higher down payment necessary to do the purchase. And you are also, to keep in mind, at the mercy of the parks regulations. And that is another aspect about manufactured home is, when it comes to lending, they might not accept the lender you're working with. Some of them have their own specific lender that does loans for this specific park. Something to keep in mind as well. So overall, it can be a good purchase if values are increasing over time. If you're not just purchasing a manufactured home because you're desperate to get into a property, sometimes it might be worth waiting, saving a little bit more money and going after a condo or townhome, because those generally increase in value faster, where you can move into one of these, live in the property for a year or two, sell it, use that equity to purchase a single family residence. Next question, if I buy a house and want to remodel, add rooms, make additions, are permits needed and what's the process like? This is a very good question. Is it necessary to get permits? No, you can do it without permits, but you will be shooting yourself in the foot, because when you're doing illegal additions, illegal ADUs, adding square footage illegally, you are losing on the opportunity to add value to the property. Let me give you an example. You are into a property that has a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. Now you say, I'm going to make an addition, add a bedroom and a bathroom, make it a very nice master room with a master suite, but I'm not going to pull permit. First of all, what can happen is code enforcement can come and shut down your project. Now, this is a worst case scenario. There would need to be a complaint from a neighbor and they come and investigate, etc. But it could be the worst case. Does that happen often? No, but it's still a risk. Second of all, you make that addition, you're going to pay money. It's not going to come for free. You're not going to go into this project and not invest any of your money into it, because it's very expensive. Labor, construction material, all of that is very expensive nowadays. And what happens is, adding a bedroom and a bathroom, per my example, if you don't pull permits, you cannot refinance the property or add that new value to your home. And maybe you say, well, I'm living in the property, I don't really care. That's fine. But once you move out, the bank that's going to come and appraise the property, the appraiser will say, okay, well, public record shows a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. You have a 4-bedroom, 2-baths. Can you show me the permits? And if you say, well, it was done illegally, then they're not going to consider it. So instead of your house being worth 600,000, it might still be worth 450. So in my honest opinion, and as you know, I've done and assisted multiple projects, you always want to pull the permits because you will put yourself in a bit better position in the long and short run. When you pull permits, now you are increasing the value of your property. And if in the event you have to refinance or sell the property, it will be considered as what it is. And this is specifically true for ADU. ADU are accessory dwelling units, second home on your lot. If there's no permit in there, you will waste all this money and time building a project that's not worth anything to the city and the county. Next question. How may I increase my credit score? Now listen to this. I used to have not so good credit. Now I have excellent credit. I used to have a 640, which is still fine. It's not the best. I wouldn't get the best interest rate with a 640 credit score. And now I have an 800 credit score. And here's what I've learned. You do not need a bunch of credit cards. You need one or two credit cards with a big credit availability. So let's say you have two credit cards and they're $1,000 each. You only use one and you only use it for necessity. I always advise my client that are trying to increase their credit quickly and efficiently. The way you want to go about it is you want to use your credit card. Let's say you have a Costco City credit card to only put gas. Gas is an absolute necessity, as we know. You put gas as soon as this charge posts on your statement, and you can install the credit card app. You will see it. Typically, it takes 2 days. You want to pay it right away. And that's all you need to do to monitor and manage a good credit. With time, you constantly want to increase your credit available. So let's say you've had your credit card for 6 months, you had good maintenance, paid off your statement every single month, then you want to go to the bank and say, okay, well, I have $1,000. Is it possible to get $2,500? But even when you get that credit increase, you constantly want to keep paying the balance every single month. Now, what not to do is to have more than 30% of your credit usage. You do not want to cross that line because that's when you start losing points. And here's how it truly works. The bank watch every borrower, because when you have a credit cards, you're borrowing money from the bank. And you're telling the bank, well, I'll pay you at the end of the month. So they see you as a borrower, and how they see you is how responsible are you with the money they're lending you. And if they see that you're responsible, they give you more points, which leads to a higher credit score. But if you're irresponsible and you show them that you need your credit cards to live, then that's when they start to take points and your credit score decrease. Now, having a car payment doesn't necessarily promise a higher credit score. What it does is it just shows a good statement as long as you're making your monthly payment. That's all it shows. It really doesn't help you increase your credit score quickly. It's more like on the long period side of things. You never want to miss a payment. You never want to have a late payment. And you definitely don't want bills to go to collection or charge off, because that will hurt you tremendously. So the main aspect here is control your credit cards, make those monthly payments, and you should have a great credit. Last question, and this one is a spicy one because I just contacted the city and asked for questions and I got incredible answers. So the question is 29 Palms still a good investment for Airbnb? Now I have to break down the answer to this question in two. First part is 29 Palms has two jurisdictions. The city of 29 Palms, if you look on the map, you will see that it draws lines, and everything that's included in these lines are with the city of 29 Palms. They have their own jurisdiction. Now, right outside of those lines, still consider the city of 29 Palms. It is the jurisdiction of San Bernardino County. And I know, because obviously I'm a realtor, I serve the area, but second of all, both my Airbnbs are on the county side of things at the time of this recording. So I am a big fan of properties on the San Bernardino County side in 29 Palms because they are very secluded, very far apart. The neighbors are pretty far. Some of these properties have absolutely no neighbors. It's just amazing. It's wonderful to give the desert experience to your guest in 29 Palms. Now, here is the spiciest part of the answer to this question. In the city of 29 Palms jurisdiction, I have just become aware that they are still issuing permits. Last time I checked, I spoke with someone from the city and they told me that they had 7 available permits. If you are not aware, last year, March of last year, the city capped the amount of SDR permits they would issue. They capped it at 500. Now, for the longest, those permits weren't available. And how it works is in order to get a permit, if you were to put in a new application, an owner that has a permit needs to cancel it, to not renew, to cancel the permit, to give it back, etc. And then that's how one spot becomes available. And the reality is a lot of people that have purchased in 2020, 2021, or even 2022, are not making the cash flow they were expecting. I mean, a lot of first-time hosts have come into the market having the expectations that occupancy rate was going to be just like it was in 2021 forever. No. In 2021, 2020 were spectacular years because of the pandemic. A lot of people were traveling at that time locally or to national parks, etc. But now we are back to normal occupancy trends. And unfortunately, some hosts are not in luck. I'm not sure if they didn't do their homework, the person that helped them wasn't aware, etc. And that's something you always want to keep in mind. When you work with a real estate agent, they will tell you what they know. But if they've never invested, they don't have long-term, short-term, mid-term rentals. They don't do flips. They don't do new construction. They don't do none of that. And that's what you're looking to do. They might not even be able to help you fully to get that extra service that you're trying to get. So that's why it's always worth, when you're interviewing agents, to ask them questions and see if they can help you into what you're looking to do truly. Because everybody that's looking to buy or sell real estate has different ambition, different perspective, different experience. And unfortunately, the other ugly truth is a lot of real estate agents have never purchased a home. They are just tenants. So it is what it is. That's the reality, and something to keep in mind. But is 29 Palms still a good place to invest for Airbnb? Absolutely. And that concludes this little Q&A. As a reminder, I'm often offering Q&As, answering your questions, going on live on Instagram. But I wanted to say thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I would really appreciate a review and potentially a comment to see where can I improve or what else would you like to hear from me.